So close. So near. So nearly. You need only one thing. Within a whisker. The one that got away. Back to his rich lifestyle, his Instagram existence. He could have been St. Nigel's, St. Torquay, St. Finlay, St. Fraser. But he walked off into anonymity. He needed only one thing, and it was too much, too hard, a renunciation too far. He just couldn't bring himself to break that one last chain that held him fast, kept him out there on the edges when he could be up close, here at the heart of it. Mind you, it was a fairly significant chain. Great wealth and all it allows, seductive, alluring, attractive. For him it was the norm of his life, and who wouldn't prefer the securities of his daily comforts to the unknown quantity of discipleship, life on the road, the wild uncertainties and the dangers of following Jesus? Maybe if Jesus has only asked for something else, some grand gesture of piety, one brief fabulous act of generosity, some demonstration of devotion, a display of religious fervour, some minor temporary readjustment of lifestyle, a specific task or role. He could have done all of those. He would have done all of those, any of those. But it was as if Jesus saw to the heart of the matter, knew where the love and the loyalty truly lay, where the crunch came for this particular young man with his particular issue to deal with. The knuckles white as the grip on the wallet tightens. For him, that was the problem, the issue, the question. This was the crux, his money or the call to follow. You can almost see the internal battle, the known versus the unknown, the comfortable versus the dangerous, the old familiar connections versus the new adventure. Take the money, open the box. Why did Jesus make it so hard? Why does he make it just as hard for us? Why such a fierce and absolute demand on the young man? Does he make a demand like that for us? What's our thing, our one thing that is needed for our commitment to be serious? The last chain that has to be broken for true discipleship to begin. For some, it will be the refusal to let go of anger, bitterness or hate. I'm sometimes astonished, always saddened, by how much hate and hurt there is around, old wounds, ancient betrayals, hard hearts, deep things that acid burn their way into our soul. If you're interested in true discipleship, maybe your thing is to let go of that hate and that bruising, fierce resentment against whoever did what when, and allow Christ to take you with him on the rest of the journey. Let the pain slip into the sea of his forgiveness and grace and be set free to follow. For other people, the one thing they need is to deal with bad stuff in their life, a bad relationship, a mistake of the past that sits like a rock of guilt in their soul, and in spite of being pushed deeper and deeper into the subconscious, it's still there. It still pops up when the question is asked, is there anything wrong in your life? Yes, there is, and I know exactly what it is. I always know exactly what it is. And until it's dealt with, it will keep us chained to second-rate commitment. It will prevent us going with Christ on his way. There is one thing you need. Or perhaps it's intellectual pride. Deserved because we're pretty bright and we rather look down on those who bend the knee to a greater than themselves. Or just because we enjoy the illusion that our power of thought, our reading, our erudition puts us above and beyond the idea of commitment to Christ. And the one thing we need is humility before the truth. To jettison the crazy notion that we have all the answers and that there's nothing beyond the reach of our mind. And instead to submit that stubborn resistance to the call of Jesus to follow him. Submit that to him. Until we learn to kneel before our God and admit that of all there is to know, we know very little actually. Until we lay aside our mistaken pride, we can't be followers. But he calls us to the life of faith, summons us out of an easy religiosity to walk the way of the cross. And if the one thing we need is to jettison an easy kind of religion that asks no cost, requires no sacrifice, makes no demand, falls easily into a sort of decent citizenship rather than a radical life-altering commitment to Christ, then maybe here is something we need to consider. This invitation to faith is not just an invitation to niceness, but is about going deep with God, daring to enter communion with him through prayer and listening, service, witness and praise. If we are locked into a model of faith that is without demand, cost, sacrifice, inconvenience, then perhaps the call comes to us to let go of that model and dare to follow the inconvenient Christ. Ah, but you have plans. Plans for your life, your job, your career, your promotion, your ambition runs high. And why not? When Christ invites us to follow him, could it be that these things, these items on our agenda for our life, take such precedence in our thinking that this is the one thing we need to let go of, where we want our life to be, how we want the timetable to run, how we see the dream, and how we plan to make the dream, our dream for our life, happen? Could it be that we need to refocus, realign things, so that what matters is his plan, his dream, his priorities for our life? Maybe he wants us to embrace full-time Christian work. And with a crisis in ministry in the church, he is calling men and women to consider that. But what if that's us? What about the plan, my dream, my goals, my achievements? We need to consider, is this the one thing we need for our discipleship to be real and significant, that we say, not my dream, but yours? Whatever adjustments that requires. For the rich man, his money and his lifestyle were his thing, the thing that robbed him of Christ. For us, something very different may be the factor, the thing that draws us away from meaningful loyalty to him. To choose the way of following doesn't mean we cease to be, that we achieve nothing, have nothing, are nothing. It does change our priorities, our perspectives. It involves us in letting go of what seems precious and important in order to embrace what is crucial. I'll say that again. It involves us in letting go of what seems precious and important in order to embrace what is crucial. Like the woman with the jar of precious perfume who had to choose to hold on to it, keep it safe, secure her personal investment, or to break it and pour it over the head and face of Christ and bathe his feet with its sweet scent. Today could be a challenging day of opportunity to make a big decision, to seize a big moment. What if someone today gets liberated from old hates that suppurate and poison the future? Lord, I've had enough of this bile souring my life. I give you my pain and my anger. What if someone deals at last with something that's wrong and twisted in their life? Lord, today I face the truth. There is something wrong here, and I give you that situation for healing, for a new beginning that you can bring. What if one individual today lets go of their arrogance and humbles themselves before God and his truth? Lord, who am I kidding? Give me grace and humility before my Lord and my God. What if a Christian moves the boundaries of their commitment to where it hurts, into the realm of sacrifice? Whatever, Lord. wherever, Lord, I will follow. What if one individual abandons their own timetable for their life and opens their heart to the call of God's timetable? Lord, I won't stop to count the cost, but I give myself to your work and the needs of your kingdom. What if one person discards a convenience religion for the inconvenient way of the cross? Then this has been a serious, precious, and significant day. One question remains. Would it have been worth it if the man had turned his back on his old life instead of turning his back on Christ? Would it have been worth it, do you think?